Black and white news footage.
The British nation, it stirred and it never had been in its long, eventful history. They mean to conquer or to die.
In full colour, newlyweds exit a church. The groom is a uniformed soldier. May 1940.
They say a world war is a big thing, which is why they call it a world war, I suppose. But for me, the Second World War was the size of our town. A smoky little industrial town on Tyneside, where I was born and bred.
Right, if you could just all gather round.
This is the story of my war. Joe Maddison's war. My little world was about to be turned upside down and inside out. It began the day my daughter got married.
Everyone smiling? Right, forget the ration. Everybody say cheese.
Cheese!
The happy couple have their picture taken. At the reception, Joe stands to address the guests.
Ladies and gentlemen, pages are in the wrong order.
Try page one.
When Sheila first told me that her and Tommy were getting married, she said, "Mind, Dad, you're not to make a speech."
She's not a bad judge.
A man in his mid-40s.
Thank you, Harry. He's playing the music for the dancing later on, so I had to invite him.
I met him in a trench on the Somme in 1916, and I've been trying to get rid of him ever since.
I never expected to be making this speech in wartime. We were all told that we'd fought in the war to end all wars, and we thought we'd won it. Anyway, we'd just like to wish me son Alan and Tommy the best of luck as they do that bit. But also, let's wish Sheila and Tommy a long and happy marriage. Before we all burst into tears, I'd like to thank Father Connolly for making the heathens among us feel so welcome. And well, that's about it, really.
The toast.
Oh, aye, the toast. Bride and groom.
The guests raise their glasses. Later, Harry sings on stage with a band as the guests dance.
Carefree and gay.
Harry sips a pint, keeping a close eye on Joe's wife, Polly, who's dancing with a tall, uniformed Navy sailor. Harry draws on a cigarette. In a cloakroom off the dance floor, dark-haired 60-ish Joe smokes and stares off in thought. Snowy-haired Father Connolly joins him.
I'm dancing at your daughter's wedding.
Polly says I have two left feet on the right-hand side.
And for the official record, I don't regard you as a heathen, even though Polly married out, as we say.
I don't go to your church, but I don't really go to anybody's.
But you're a good man.
Thank you. Anything to say?
Oh, it's the war. These are strange times. Better to say things while they're in your head.
Father Connolly smiles and strolls past him. Joe's eyes follow him as he goes. Frowning pensively, Joe pulls on a cigarette. Polly and the handsome Navy sailor share a smile and clap. Joe and Polly make their way home with their son, Alan. A large ship looms in the boatyard at the end of the terraced street.
Amen.
Kevin Waitley, Robson Green, Joe Maddison's War. Written by Alan Plater.
Mind how you go, son.
Don't worry, Mum. I'll keep my cap on.
Joe and Alan sit by the fire.
What time are you away?
Early.
Right, well, I'll see you in the morning before you go. I'm off to bed. It's been a long day.
Aye, all that dancing.
Well, you never know when you get another chance, do you?
I'll be in directly.
No rush. You lads have a bit of man talk, eh?
Polly smiles and leaves them to it. Fresh-faced Alan sips a whiskey. Joe looks down, then raises his eyebrows.
So, what'll you be doing when you get back?
Well, not a word to Adolf Hitler, but if I pass all the tests, in a couple of months' time, I'll be a fully qualified wireless operator.
Aye?
Flying in bombers.
Oh, I wish I could be there with you.
Don't be daft.
No, not flying, but, you know, fighting a good fight.
There's no need. Shipbuilding's a reserved occupation, isn't it? And besides, I mean, you're
too old.
This is my generation's war.
Aye, I suppose it is.
Joe stokes the fire.
One for the road?
Aye. Good stuff.
There's a lad from Gateshead. He works in the officer's mess.
Alan pours them each a glass. Joe inhales the whiskey's aroma.
All the best, son.
They sip their drinks. Joe gets in bed with Polly.
Are you asleep?
I was. Until 5 minutes ago.
She lies on her side with her back to Joe.
Be funny. Just you and me in the house.
Hi. Funny.
Tears roll down her face.
You're not crying again, are you?
Why shouldn't I?
Joe snuggles up with an arm around her.
Oh, where am I, Pat?
Polly stares ahead in troubled thought.
I never really know why people cry.
She blinks.
At least I do it when I'm awake. I'm trying to go to sleep.
She pulls her arm away from his and Joe withdraws slightly in surprise. Polly looks up at a wooden crucifix on the wall. Joe lies back with his arms under the covers and stares at the ceiling. Black and white footage of ships being built.
The clang of steel upon steel echoes once more about the shipyards of Britain. So night and day our shipyards are building anew to replace the tonnage sunk.
Joe's hard at work at the shipyard, welding with a blowtorch. He flips up his welding mask, scratches his dirty face with a gloved hand, and strolls off for lunch. Harry peers suspiciously at the contents of his lunchbox.
I've got cheese, you?
Potted.
Joe glances over.
Potted what?
I'm buggered if I know. Mind you, next door's dog's gone missing. It could be potted Rover.
Go on, I'll take a chance.
They swap one of their sandwiches.
Good do, Saturday night, wasn't it?
All right. Went well.
All the nice girls love a sailor. All the nice girls love a tongue.
You have to sing.
Oh, I'm just trying to keep my spirits up in troubled times. I can do requests. Pick a song, any song. And do all the proper voices if you like. Bing Crosby, Paul Robeson. I can do Gracie Fields.
Just drink your tea, man.
Now then, Eddie.
All right, lads.
Eddie stares at them.
Well, are you going to join?
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
I put a notice up in the club.
I don't go in the club.
What is it you want us to join? I wouldn't mind the Women's Land Army.
The LDV.
And what the hell's the LDV?
Oh, I've read about that. The Local Defence Volunteers.
Yeah, but when the uniforms arrive, it's going to be called the Home Guard.
Rule one, never volunteer. I learned that in 1917. And what would we be volunteering to do?
To defend the country against possible invasion.
I did my bit last time.
Oh, we'd all be in favour defending the country, wouldn't we?
What if you woke up, opened your curtains tomorrow morning, the sky was black with German paratroopers? What would you do then?
I'd probably go back to bed.
We must all unite against the forces of fascism. I've been warning you two lads about that since 1936. We could have sorted it all out in the Spanish Civil War once and for all.
What sort of sandwiches you got?
Lemon curd, homemade.
Swap you for a venison patty.
Where you getting venison patty?
I happen to be a close and personal friend of the Duke of Northumberland.
A schoolboy rings a bell on Joe Street.
What are you doing, Billy?
I'm ringing this bell, man.
What for?
My dad told us to.
He wanted you out of the way.
Aye, but he said it'd be good practice, you know, in case it happens for real, like.
Practice for what?
Hold on a minute.
He consults a pamphlet.
The ending of a gas attack shall be signified by the ringing of a handbell.
There hasn't been a gas attack, man. There hasn't even been an air raid.
Can you smell gas?
Well, of course I can't smell bloody gas. Gas doesn't have a smell.
So we can't be sure, can we?
Smiling to himself, Billy wanders off. Joe goes to open his front door, but finds it locked. Unlocking it, he goes inside to find there's nobody in.
Hello, Pet.
He has a gas mask in a box on a string around his neck. He puts it down on a sideboard with his flask and lunchbox.
Can you hear us?
He opens a door and peers into a room, then, in the bedroom, removes his scarf. He stops in his tracks as his eyes fall on the dresser. None of Polly's things are on it. He looks in the wardrobe to find it half empty. Returning to the living room, he spots an envelope propped on the mantelpiece. Reflected in a mirror hanging above the fireplace, Joe crosses the room and picks up the envelope. He stares at it without opening it, and his eyes rove in thought. The penny drops.
All the nice girls know a sailor.
He makes a fist, crumpling the envelope. Night, Joe sits in the backyard with the envelope in his hand. He scowls up at the sky.
Bugger you. I'm not moving.
His expression grim, he remains seated.
Go on, drop your bomb.
The bottle of whiskey rests at his side.
It was all a favour.
He stares ahead, then turns his sad eyes to the sky. Black and white footage of the Blitz. Firefighters douse burning buildings.
Now the Battle of Britain is on. The Germans fling the full weight of their air force against our civilian life. From dusk to dawn, they rain high explosive and incendiary bombs in an attempt to terrify us into submission. Another wild, indiscriminate orgy of destruction.
A tram rumbles down a cobbled street. Dressed in his flat cap, overalls and a black jacket, and carrying his ever-present gas mask box, Joe enters a pharmacy and approaches the white-haired man at the counter.
Hello, Joe. Evening, Mr. Simpson. Have you got any, aspirin? Something like that?
Hangover?
Just a bit of a head.
Hangover. Well, this worked for many of my customers in 1937.
1937?
When Sunderland won the cup.
Joe crosses a cobbled street as 9 or so local defence volunteers march by carrying broom handles against their shoulders like rifles.
And this is what you want us to join?
As soon as you can, comrade, we need to defeat the fascists.
God help us all. My money's on the fascists.
The woman walks away. Joe watches as 3 children chase the LDV group along the street. He enters a chip shop with a newspaper folded under one arm. The woman from the street is there.
What can I get you, bunny lad?
My cue, gentlemen.
You're all right, Peddle. I'm waiting for haddock. Do you want a haddock?
Whatever's ready.
Cod.
Hi, cod's fine.
You're Polly on strike, is she?
No, why should she be?
Cod and chips for one, 3 nights running.
She's had to go away. Family business.
Family's, you got your newspapers?
For wrapping.
Good lad.
He puts the paper on the counter and pays.
Good night.
Good night, kidder.
He goes and the women share a look.
Family business? That's not what I heard.
Finishing his dinner from its newspaper parcel, Joe crosses the street as a tram rolls by. He stops in the road and screws up the newspaper, then trots up some steps to the entrance of South Shields Working Men's Club, binning the screwed-up wrapper as he goes.
Cheers, kiddo.
He sits down with Harry inside.
So, what's up? You must be desperate to want to talk to me.
They sip their pints. Joe sets his down on the table.
I think Polly's left us.
Hey, you bugger.
She left a note. This is for the best. Don't try to follow me. You might understand one day.
He hands Harry the note.
Not even a PS saying your dinner's in the oven. Well, you could try the local method. Go after her, give her a good hide and fetch her home. Work for me.
That's not how I remember it.
But it's the same principle. When was it? 1933, 1934? I get a job playing the piano in a concert party when I met this lass. Tap dancer from Croydon. Obviously, she had a funny accent, but she was
I remember the rest.
Yeah, word gets back to head office in South Shields and...
My brothers came after you.
Do not marry into a family of Boilermakers.
I didn't. I married into a family of Catholics.
Much the same thing.
Other day at work, you were singing All the Nice Girls Love a Sailor.
Harry leans against the table.
It was a joke, man.
Was that because Polly was dancing with a sailor at the wedding?
Aye. She was having a good time, and it was all harmless enough, like. Or so it seemed.
So you're in the ship's crew?
He's a naval engineer. He's come up here to see if we're doing the job right.
Joe sighs.
Smart uniform, mate.
I used to have a smart uniform.
He gulps his bitter. Night. The moon shines brightly over Joe's terraced street. Wincing and whining, Joe lies in bed in the throes of a nightmare. He wakes with a start, and his frightened eyes rove. Day. Joe climbs a marble staircase past uniformed soldiers passing him in the opposite direction. A statue of a soldier stands in a recess in the stone wall. Joe proceeds down a busy corridor, where coats, uniforms and helmets are laid out on long tables. A man takes a coat and enters a room off the corridor. Joe continues into a wood-panelled room and approaches a desk, behind which, dressed in a green military uniform, is the white-haired old chemist.
Right, name?
Oh, how am I? It's Joe Madison.
I know that, Joe, but I have to go through the formalities.
Red tape.
See. But I'm still Joe Madison.
Yes, of course you are.
Are you still Mr. Simpson, the chemist?
Major Simpson. I was a major in the First War.
Medical Corps.
I was Durham Light Infantry. In France.
I never knew that.
We don't talk about it, do we?
Simpson points him to his left.
Why do you want to join the Home Guard?
This war's done its best to ruin my life. I want to kill somebody. Nazis will do it to be going on with.
Simpson's wide-eyed. Four, part two. They have rifles.
Well done. I can tell some of you have done this before.
Aye, 25 years ago. It's bloody boring then and now.
Well, some of it was almost average. Over to you, Major Simpson.
Thank you, Sergeant. Now, I'd just like to go through your basic training schedule for the coming weeks. I know many of us are veterans of the Western Front, but there's still work to be done. And pay attention, because I don't like saying things twice. Right. From tomorrow night...
Oh, sorry, Major. Did you say tomorrow night?
Because I'm washing my hair.
Night. The sky is full of German bombers. Harry, Joe and Eddie are on watch.
What am I supposed to be looking for?
Parachutists.
But they're not going to do a parachute landing at night.
The element of surprise.
They are fascist hyenas and they're not to be trusted. Does anyone fancy a drink?
Eddie swigs from a bottle and hands it to Joe, who sips from it and grimaces.
What the hell is that?
Nerve tonic.
Oh, nerve tonic. I'll swap you.
It's a present from Major Simpson. Apparently he sold gallons of the stuff in the 30s when we were all on the dole. Since the war started, he can't give the stuff away.
I'm not surprised.
That tastes like creosote.
Wait a minute.
What?
What does that look like to you?
Bugger me, that's a parachute.
It bloody is, and all. I can see the fella's legs dangling.
They stand up.
So what do we do now?
We capture him.
And can we beat him up?
I dare say that's optional.
Oh, well, on we go.
They leave their sandbag gun emplacement and race onto the street through a wide gateway. Joe looks up at the descending parachute.
Hold on!
He points.
That hasn't got any legs.
No legs.
Land me!
They run for cover as the parachute bomb hits nearby. They emerge and stare over at the devastation. Their mouths hang open as smoke drifts on the breeze. Joe shakes his head. They start down the street towards the place of impact. Scattered fires burn all around. The men draw near.
This was me Auntie Bella's old street.
They continue through a veil of smoke, the small fires dancing and flickering in the murk. Amidst a heap of bricks and rubble lies the body of a boy.
Why, look. Oh, sweet Jesus.
They run to the boy and squat beside him. Joe holds a hand above the boy's mouth to check for breathing. It's Billy.
Do you know him?
I won't know him. Billy Nicholson.
His dad's a fitter at Swan Hunters.
Last time I seen Billy was ringing that bell down our road, they did, punk.
Must have got caught by the blast. There's not a mark on him.
Could you not pick on someone your own age?
Hey, Howeyman, I killed kids of his age in the last war. We all did.
Doesn't make it any better. Nothing makes it any better.
Day. Outside Joe's, a girl walks on a pair of paint can-style stilts as another girl skips. Inside, Joe struggles to dry a shirt with a mangle.
The women
It's Sheila. They hug. He turns off the radio.
What you doing to your hand?
Oh, I was opening a tin of beans.
You need a woman to look after you.
He shoots her a look.
Sorry.
First, I thought she'd be back in a few days. Then when I found out the whole story, I felt a bit of shame.
Well, that's silly.
No smoke without fire sort of thing. Must be partly my own fault.
He cranks his shirt through the mangle.
I only know bits and pieces. But you know, your mum was helping out at that military canteen up in your castle. When in comes this handsome naval officer. So after that, it's occasional trips to the pictures and afternoon tea dances at the Oxford Galleries. And
wish you always liked dancing.
He raises his eyebrows.
That's it. That's what I know.
Well, start by tidying this place up a bit, eh? I need to give you a few lessons.
Lessons?
How to wash up, how to make a shopping list, how to open a tin of beans without bloodshed.
Sheila washes up.
I mean, I've been trying to see things from her point of view, like, and, well, all I do is go to work and come home again. Never liked the pictures much, except Roy Rogers. Never learned to dance.
I don't give a bugger what sort of husband you were.
Hey, you never used to swear like that.
Well, we're all doing things we never used to do. What you need to know is, as a dad, you've always been smashing.
Am I really smashing?
Yes. And you were smashing parents, both of yous. And that's why I want me mum back.
Oh, she won't. I haven't even got an address.
Try a bit harder.
Women and children leave the local church. On his way towards the church, Joe passes two prim-looking women. He overhears them as they walk away.
That's him. That's the husband.
Aye. There was a car there at the house, and it wasn't the doctor.
The women glance back at him over their shoulders. Joe pauses, then removes his cap and enters the empty church. He looks towards the altar, then starts down the aisle between the pews, turning his cap in his hands. Father Connolly stands before him, wearing white clerical robes and holding two Bibles.
Father Connolly.
Joe, what can I do for you?
I need to talk to you about Polly.
Fine.
They sit down on the front pew, mindful of two women cleaning nearby.
You know she's left me.
Yes, I did know.
Being a good Catholic girl, she'd have talked about it to you at confession.
You know I can't tell you that.
Well, you've got to tell us something.
Joe, I can't condone what Polly's done, but I do understand why she's done it.
Well, I don't, and I need to.
Trust me. I'm sure you'll understand in time.
I need to understand now.
Joe, Polly once told me that you lost your faith during the war.
Joe stares ahead vacantly.
On the Somme. Half our lads have been blown to bits. I got this padre to admit that God was on our side. He was on the German side as well.
God is transcendent.
Bloody useless at his job. Can't start talking to us.
Joe rises sharply from his seat and leaves the church. A black and white newsreel.
Even after a period of lull in the night bombing, there's always some activity which reminds us of these indiscriminate attacks. And even after nearly a year of concentrated hate on our big citizens still have a sense of humour.
Harry, Joe and Eddie patrol the woods.
I'm too old for this sort of thing. German saboteurs.
They'd have to be lost to land here.
Well, they're not going to turn up outside the central station in Newcastle either, where you know they'll come ashore at Roke or a Marsden from a submarine. Well, that's the official line anyway, according to Major Simpson.
And that's why it's cobblers. Germans or no Germans? I need a Jimmy Riddle.
Hey, look. Can you see that?
Oh, I can see something.
Eddie and Joe draw their rifles and head into the trees as Harry goes to the toilet in the bushes.
Hold on, bunny lad!
You're under arrest!
It's a winged statue.
Oh.
Bugger me.
We've arrested a statue of a bloody angel.
And you haven't asked the only thing that really matters.
What?
Is she one of ours or one of theirs?
Harry steps past them towards the statue. Joe puts a coat on in a changing room. Eddie holds a ticket to a dance.
You owe me a shilling.
What for?
That.
The ticket.
Oh, I didn't go on the dances.
A week on Saturday, for a good cause, all proceeds to our gallant Russian allies.
Are you good?
I'll be leading the band. We're taking it seriously, mate. Been practicing Moonlight Serenade. We don't normally practice anything. Keep the buggers guessing us.
Come on, then. I'll look in for half an hour.
Oh, Major Drummond, could I sell you a ticket to a dance?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'll be a long way from Tyneside by then.
Well, no bother. You buy the tickets and we'll give them away to the poor people of the parish. It's all in aid of the Russians.
The Major digs deep and hands over some change.
Keep the change.
You're a gentleman, sir.
Good night, chaps.
Good night.
You crafty soul.
You know what that was, don't you?
Shifty and underhand.
The redistribution of wealth, comrade. The shape of things to come.
Right. Two courses of the red flag, then we'll piss off one.
At the dance, couples bop enthusiastically. A middle-aged woman with wavy red hair, Selena Rutherford, sits at a table with some elderly gentlemen. A surly-looking Harry sits on stage smoking as his band plays. He glances at Joe, who's serving at the bar.
Thank you, folks. The next dance will be a modern waltz. And to spice things up a bit, we're making this one a lady's desire.
Selena seems to mouth something to Harry, who nods towards the bar. She stands and crosses to the bar in her long patterned dress. To Joe.
May I have this dance, please?
Oh, sorry, pet. I'm looking after the bar.
There's plenty of people to look after the bar. Besides, maybe I desire you.
It's daft.
Well, not forever, just for a couple of minutes.
No, I can't dance, man.
Can you count to three?
Aye.
Yeah, well, if you can count to three, then you can dance.
You miserable sod, dance with a lass.
Oh, look, man, I've only got 2 feet. 3 into 2 won't go.
I'll show you.
She proffers a hand and reluctantly he takes it.
Right, follow me.
They go to the dance floor.
Hand on my waist, hand out there, forward with that leg. 1, 2, 3, back. 2, 3. Relax, man, you're supposed to be enjoying yourself.
I'm not that good at enjoying yourself.
Try. Forward, 2, 3, back, 2, 3.
Oh, sorry.
He trod on her foot. He moved stiffly and clumsily.
Very good.
They waltz somewhat jerkily amongst the other smooth-moving couples. Joe and Selena stop off in the cloakroom on their way out.
Well, thank you for the dance.
That's all right.
Aye, aye. Is this bonny lad going to walk you home, pet?
I'm sure there's none.
He helps her into her coat.
Honestly, man, you're no note. You dance the anniversary waltz with a lass, you walk her home. Jockey club rules. Ah, wait, man, it's the least you can do, call yourself a gentleman. Don't worry, he's always got batteries in his torch.
Shall I walk you home?
Anything to shut him up.
Selena smiles and leaves with Joe. Outside, she stumbles and links arms with him.
Oh, sorry. Do you mind?
You carry on. Nobody's looking.
In this town, somebody's always looking. Well, this is me. Thanks for tonight. Thank you, Hitler, for spoiling a lovely evening.
It's all right. I'm only 10 minutes away.
You'd better come in. I don't make a habit of this, you know.
What?
Having male visitors after dark.
Maybe just the old clear, eh?
They enter Selina's living room and turn on the light.
The place is a tip. I wasn't expecting company. Ah, but I did bank the fire, though.
Joe points at a photograph of a young Navy sailor.
Is this...
me husband. He was killed at Dunkirk.
Oh, sorry.
And to save any embarrassing silences, I know about you and your wife. Harry told us.
He tells everyone about everything.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
They listen.
Cup of tea.
What about the aerial?
Well, we have a little shelter in the backyard, but there's rats in it. Anyway, to hell with Hitler. Hmm? If I go running away at the shelter, then he's won.
Cup of tea then, eh?
In the kitchen, Selina takes a kettle off a hob and pours steaming water into a black teapot.
You know, you were the first man to set foot in here since...
Dunkirk.
Yeah.
She puts the kettle down.
Don't worry. I'm always very careful where I set me foot.
Selina and Joe sit opposite each other in the living room. Sharing an uncomfortable silence, they each glance around the room.
Listen, if you want to get yourself away to bed, I'll just stop down here to the old clear. See myself out.
There's a spare room upstairs.
Oh, no. If I do stay, I'll just curl up on the settee.
There's no need.
I'd rather stop on the settee. Do you mind?
Suit yourself, bunny lad. I'll fetch you a rug.
She leaves the room. Joe sits with his elbows on his thighs. He glances up at the photo of Selina's husband as a smiling young Navy sailor, then drops his gaze. Morning, Joe approaches his house. A passing milkman in a pristine white jacket pushes a cart sporting the words, New Laid Eggs, M. Edwards, Dairyman. The milkman smirks at Joe.
Morning, Joe!
Morning.
Good night, was it?
Caught in the area.
Aye, that's what they all say.
A net curtain twitches as somebody peeps out at Joe. The milkman goes on his way, and Joe enters his house to find Alan eating breakfast.
Bloody hell.
If the positions were reversed, you'd be a bit inclined to say what time do you call this?
What are you doing here?
A little 48-hour pass. There wasn't time to let you know and I just assumed you'd be here.
I got caught in the area. I know it's what they all say.
I didn't see a thing. Go on, sit down, still tea in the pot.
Joe gets a mug.
So, how are things?
Fine. When we go back, we start serious bombing. How are things with you?
I'll manage.
I would have written. Should have written. About Mum, but I didn't know what to say.
She found somebody she'd rather be with. He danced better than me. Nothing more to be said.
Having poured himself tea, Joe sips from his mug.
And are you going to tell me where you were last night?
I don't think so.
What's her name?
I forgot to ask.
Her name is Selina Rutherford. I used to play football with her husband.
I remember him. Killer fullback.
And you forgot to ask her name?
I'm on practice with that sort of thing.
Aye, that's what Harry thought.
You set it up?
Well, just for a bit of a laugh, like.
She's lonely, you're lonely. It makes sense.
Am I lonely?
Of course you are, you soft sod.
Looking through binoculars...
Will you bugger look at that?
What is it?
Oh, my mistake. Thought I saw Nightingale looking for Berkeley Square.
Yeah.
Shut up, lads, man. We've got work to do.
They're on night watch.
She got a job.
Who?
Selina.
Aye, she works at the co-op. Why?
Joe glances at Harry, then looks away and shakes his head. Day. Joe ambles up outside the co-op, a small glass-fronted shop with signs advertising Nestlé milk and Lion's tea hung in the entranceway. He peers in through the window, then looks away. Furrowing his brow, he takes a deep breath and ventures inside. Selina's behind the counter weighing something as another shop assistant deals with the customers. Joe pushes through the queue.
Hey, do you mind? This is a queue, you know.
You're all right, I've not come in to buy anything.
It's a shop. It's for buying things. Did you want some bacon?
It's not about bacon. I wouldn't say no. If you like, I'll not be fussed.
That was the young dreamer.
did you? Mm-hmm.
What man? There's people waiting to be seen.
I wrote it down.
He leaves a note on the counter and hurries out. She puts it in her pocket. Jo and Selena sit together in a cinema. Selena eats popcorn. Jo smokes a cigarette.
My girl, the birds are singing for me and my girl.
Selena offers him popcorn, but he declines. She turns her eyes to the screen and smiles. Later, they file out of the cinema.
Oh, he's good, isn't he?
Gene Kelly.
Yeah, he's a wonderful dancer.
Oh, aye. He can count to three, no bother.
He's got a big bottom, though, hasn't he?
Can't say I've noticed. I'll pay attention next time.
They reach her doorstep.
Next time? Can we have a next time?
Oh, I think we should, don't you?
Jo smiles. She opens her front door, turns the hallway light on, and stands in the doorway.
Do you want to come in for a while?
I'd better not. Got an early start. Ships to build, wars to win, and I've got to write some letters to my children.
And you write a very good letter.
You what?
Let me see.
She takes out his note.
Fancy the pictures tonight. Meet you outside at 6:30, but only if you want to.
He rolls his eyes.
It's not exactly romantic, is it?
I'm not exactly romantic.
You're selling me?
He smiles and heads off. Selena closes the door. She leans back against the door. She shakes her head.
We're all out of practice.
Then smiles to herself. A black and white newsreel.
The German Air Force launched a major attack against the great city of Stalingrad on August 23rd, 1942. Never has any city sustained such an assault.
Buildings burn. Soldiers fire their rifles from inside a safe building. Others hop a barbed wire fence.
But Stalingrad still holds, and men have held it.
Any idea what this is about?
Probably top secret. It usually is.
It'll be so top secret, we won't be allowed to listen. They'll ask us in a couple more years.
The platoon all stand as Simpson and Drummond enter.
Be seated. Thank you for your patience, gentlemen. I'd like to leave you in the hands of Major Drummond.
Thank you, Major. I'm back here, I hope and trust, as the bearer of good news. The Home Guard in this area is going to have a chance to have a real crack at the enemy.
What the hell is that?
This is a 4.5-inch heavy anti-aircraft gun. They're rolling off the assembly line and will be in full operational use in the new year. Now imagine a battery of four of these guns, all firing simultaneously. That's a barrage of 32 shells a minute, arriving in the sky at the same time as a German bomber.
Poor sod's got no chance.
I have to warn you that with any new weapon still in the development stage, there is always the element of risk.
Aye, well, it would never do to blow up real soldiers, would it?
This is a serious business, Private.
I know that well enough, Major. I was blown up in 1917, and once is enough.
Jo raises a hand.
You have a question?
No, man. I'm volunteering.
Eddie looks at Jo, then promptly raises his hand too. Harry groans. November 1942, the men march.
How about a bit of music, Private Crawford? See us over the last mile.
Aye, aye, Major.
We are the Nightshade Shifters, shifting shite by night, because the Fuhrer has only got one ball. Goring has two of a very small. Himmler is somewhat similar, but poor old Goring has no balls at all.
Do you know any other tunes, Private?
Oh, hundreds, Major. I'll have a look at the piano stool when I get home. Find something special.
You're on thin ice, Private.
Night. Harry operates an anti-aircraft gun resembling a cannon.
That's it! Don't come! Elevation 55 degrees!
Harry cranks a handle, angling the gun.
Ready! Bearing 20 degrees east!
Eddie cranks another handle and the rig rotates.
Ready! Wait for it! Wait for it! Battery fire!
Jo fires.
The bastard!
They stare up at the flaming German bomber. The whole platoon gathers around the crash site where fires rage. An explosion causes the men to recoil. They laugh and shake their fists in jubilation. Anguished, Joe stares blankly at the burning wreckage and removes his helmet. Blackness. Selina answers her door to a pale and trembling Joe.
Good God, man, Joe, do you know what the time is?
I don't know. 3 o'clock? Or is it four?
Oh, come on in. Come on in. You'll catch your death.
Joe goes inside. In the living room, Selina kneels beside Joe, who sits in an armchair.
And we were all laughing. Cheering.
You were heroes. Why shouldn't you be cheering?
I mean, I wasn't laughing and cheering.
Why?
It's obvious, man, Pat. There were men. Young men probably didn't even want to be there. Inside that plane. Burning to death. And I just thought, somewhere in Germany at this very minute, our Alan might be inside a plane. Burning to death.
Selina gives his arm a comforting squeeze.
Well, people laugh and cheer.
He looks down tearfully, fumbling with the hem of his coat, which is draped over the arm of the chair.
I swear I wasn't laughing at you.
He falteringly meets her gaze, then looks down.
Same reason why I cry sometimes in my sleep. Nightmares about young men dying.
Selina gazes softly at him and stands. She takes his hands and he rises.
Oh, well, what?
She puts a hand against his chest.
You are staying the night and you are not sleeping on the settee.
You mean?
Yes, I mean.
He looks at her husband's photograph.
I wouldn't be. I mean.
We don't need to do anything. We just need a cuddle.
A fleeting smile plays on his lips and he furrows his brow.
If I start crying.
She gently cups his cheeks and kisses him tenderly on the lips. Back of an army truck in the countryside.
Well done, everyone.
Excellent afternoon's work. Private Crawford.
Sir?
You've got that mouth organ on you.
All present and correct, sir.
So, a little bit of music to see us on our way home.
Nay bother, Major.
But not, might I suggest, Colonel Bogey.
Message received and understood, sir.
Good.
Harry winks at a mustachioed soldier, who smirks.
I don't want to join the army. I don't want to go to war. I'd rather hang around drinking in the underground, living up the earnings of a high-born lady. I don't want to pay it up the arsehole. I don't want me body shot away.
Private Crawford, I'd like a word.
Later, Major Simpson sits at his desk with his eyes down as he writes. Harry enters and stands somewhat begrudgingly at attention. Simpson leans back in his chair and regards him.
That song. It's indecent. Women and children could have heard it.
We were in the middle of the countryside. Didn't seem to bother the cows.
Yuck.
Songs like that kept us going on the Western Front.
I know just as much as you about the Western Front, Private.
You're a bloody liar. I know you'd like us to think that that was taken in the thick of the action in France. But it wasn't, was it?
That was taken at an army hospital.
Aye. At a big country house in North Yorkshire. My sister was a nurse. She worked there. And so did you.
Simpson covers his eyes, then holds a hand up.
All right. In 1914, I was too old. For active service, but I volunteered for the medical corps, trying to heal the sick, taking away their pain. Is that such a crime?
No, it isn't. But don't ever pretend you are one of us. Joe and I know what it's like, but no one will ever understand what it was like on the Western Front unless they were there. I've still got the shrapnel in my back to prove it.
That must still be painful.
Of course it's bloody painful. But you know what makes it worse? I thought there'd be some sort of reward at the end of it. Instead of which, I've spent the whole of my life being ordered about by cocky little sods who've got no idea what they're talking about. You are just the latest, but easily the worst.
I have to say that your reputation has preceded you. I'm told you tend to argue with shipyard foremen and the like.
All right. I've worked my way up and down both banks of the Tyne, twice in some cases.
Yeah, well, there are certain things you can get away with in your fitter's overalls, which are simply unacceptable in military uniform. At times, you've been a positive disgrace to the khaki!
Harry shoves Simpson back and he falls onto his chair. Harry shoots him a look, adjusts his jacket, and walks away. Selina sits with Joe at his dining table.
A cruis.
It's just for show. I've never used it. And there's no pepper.
Wedding present.
That's the way most people get cruets.
I know. I've got three in the cupboard at home and two toast racks. You expecting company?
No. Aye, aye.
Oh, hey, man, what a lovely smell. Do you mind if I help myself?
Aye, damn steady with them chips.
Eddie helps himself to a chip butty. Harry hovers behind him.
Something the matter?
I've been chucked out.
Chucked out of what?
The Home Guard, man. What else?
What for?
Insubordination. Simpson didn't like us singing that song this afternoon. And then I accused him of telling lies about being on the Western Front.
They stare at Harry.
And then I hit him.
You hit him?
I know I shouldn't have done it. He's a lot older than me.
But we are going to do something about it, and you are going to be our spokesman.
Why me?
Because you're the one everybody looks up to.
Am I?
Right, lads, if you like to form fours.
The men ignore Simpson, who has Major Drummond with him.
Platoon? This is Major Drummond from the Royal Artillery Headquarters. And you will do him the courtesy of forming fours.
Tell him.
I'm sorry, sir. We're on strike.
Strike?
What's your name and rank?
Madison, sir. Private Joe Madison.
Well, Private Madison, it looks like you and I and Major Simpson here need to have a word in private.
Major Drummond turns and starts across the room. Pursing his lips, Major Simpson looks at Joe. They follow Drummond into a private office. Handsome, boyish Drummond sits down behind his desk and addresses Joe.
Private Madison, tell me, what's all this nonsense about a strike?
That's what I said, sir. A strike.
You realise that word has no meaning in the army? Military rules apply. There is no such thing as a strike.
It must be a mutiny, I suppose.
Mutiny.
If we're not allowed a strike, what else can it be?
And is this to do with Private Crawford?
Yes.
Who struck his commanding officer?
He doesn't deny it, but he had his reasons. And he's prepared to apologise if you'll reinstate him.
And if we don't?
It's everybody out, sir.
Is this an example of the working class solidarity that I read about from time to time?
I think it must be, sir.
Drummond nods.
Thank you, Private Madison. You can wait outside.
Drummond and Simpson share a look. At home.
What did Major Simpson say?
He said Harry's a troublemaker, but it was obvious that I was the ringleader. So I'm suspended until further notice as an example of the others. Mind you, it was obviously the other fella pulling the strings.
Well, can they do that?
The military. They can do anything.
And what did the lads say?
What do you think? One out, all out?
They're all out on strike.
Well, apart from that Latin teacher from the grammar school. Oh, and there's a trainee accountant that's considering his position.
Look, it's not your fault.
Oh, man, I was chosen as a leader of men. All I've done is lead them over a bloody cliff.
A newsreel.
Marking their fourth birthday, a detachment of the Home Guard mounted guard at Buckingham Palace. These part-time soldiers from all walks of life compare very well, even with such crack professionals.
Bowls.
Ah, shot, Harry. Lovely wood.
Class. That is sheer class. Tell you what, I love being on strike. Beats the hell out of crawling over somebody's turnip field, pretending to look for submarines.
Oh, man! Concentrate, will you? This is a needle match.
Sorry, comrade.
Joe.
What?
I don't find balls all that interesting.
Well, it's a cup tie against North Shields. Ah, oh, Howie, man, Harry! You can do better than that!
She puffs out her cheeks. Joe smiles and puts an arm round her.
Would you rather go for a walk?
Yes, please.
See those two shots there? Beautiful. See your shot there? Absolute rubbish.
It's class bowling, son. We'll make a better partnership than Morgs and Engels.
I suppose this is what we're fighting for.
Aye, it is.
On a winding path.
This is one of Polly's favourite walks when we're first caught.
You suddenly started talking about her.
Oh, the reason I can talk about her is I can talk about anything with you. True. Just took us a long time to realise it.
He gestures to a bench and they sit down. She rests a hand on his thigh and he casually crosses his legs.
Is it enough?
I've no idea what you're on about, Bonnie lad.
A walk in the park and a game of bowls. We could do all that in 1939. Is it really worth millions of people dying just to get it back?
Too serious, Joe.
Sorry.
As they share a kiss, a schoolboy runs over.
Hey, mister, put that lass down. You know where she's been?
Bugger off.
Watch your language, man. You're setting a bad example to the young.
Why don't you just go away?
It's up to you, but I thought you might be a bit interested, like.
A bit interested in what?
The bomb?
Joe's eyes widen and the wiry young lad beckons them to follow him. Joe, Selina and the boy jog onto a terraced street strewn with rubble. Kids pick through the detritus.
Shrapnel, and we saw it.
Oh,
look!
Right, all of you lot, get away home and stay home! Now!
The kids scarper.
Papa Bowling Green, tell Harry and Eddie what's going on. They'll know what to do.
What about you?
I'm stopping here.
No, but what if it...
There'll be one middle-aged casualty instead of a whole lot of young'uns. Come on!
Oh, I'm on my way.
Holding her hat on, Selina hurries off. Joe peers over at the back end of the unexploded bomb, which pokes up from the rubble, its metal casing glinting in the sunlight. He steps closer, squints at it, and removes his flat cap.
Lads! Lads, you gotta come quick! There's an unexploded bomb!
Can we help?
No, this is a job for the South Shields Home Guard.
I thought you were on strike!
Bollocks to that.
And we're lying three shots in game, remember?
On the rubble-strewn street, Joe checks his pocket watch, then glances at the bomb. A dog is trying to dig it up.
Hey, get away home, man! There's nothing there for dogs! Stupid bloody animal! For God's sake!
He flings a rock at the dog, but hits the bomb. Joe dives to the ground, and the dog licks his face.
He's soft as clot, isn't he?
What are you doing here?
I've come for me dog, haven't I?
Joe pulls the boy to the floor and shields him with his own body. The half-buried bomb explodes, hurling rocks and debris in the air. The dog runs away unscathed.
All right, son.
Aye.
The smoke disperses and they stagger to their feet.
History's greatest story is being written. The D-Day plan is launched. These pictures take you right in among the men who are putting Dunkirk into reverse, planting themselves on the first bit of French soil to be won back after 4 years.
June 1944, at the Working Men's Club.
Well, guess what, comrade?
You're going to be shot at dawn.
I've been reinstated with a severe reprimand.
Bugger me!
Grand!
I'd make a concession, mate. I promise to be more careful about my choice of music. Oh, and Major Simpson would like a word with you.
Ah, so it's Joe that's going to be shot at dawn.
Take over, will you, comrade? I'm thrashing him.
Joe hands Harry some dominoes and leaves him to play Eddie. Harry knocks on the table. Joe visits Simpson at the chemist's.
Ah, Joe.
You want to see us? Well, here I am.
I'm hoping we can forget about this little bit of nonsense.
Oh, you mean the strike?
Yes.
Well, that wasn't a little bit of nonsense. That was about a matter of principle.
Well, be that as it may, you and your colleague showed great courage and initiative the other night, and maybe shake hands?
Will any of this go down on my record?
No, on the contrary. And I shouldn't have told, well, half-truths about my war record. Case closed?
Joe smiles ruefully and shakes Simpson's hand. Simpson hands him a box containing corporal's stripes. Later, Joe shows them to Selina.
Got made up to corporal, but I have to sew me stripes on the uniform. I don't know how to start.
Needle and thread.
A
probably kept it in the sewing machine.
Right. Let's see if I can remember how to be a housewife.
Big smile. Say cheese.
She photographs him.
Thanks, love.
Right. Six more bombs, I'll be a general.
Oh, my hero.
She kisses him.
It's at the door.
Likely be the pit, but I want his money.
Joe goes to the door dressed in his army uniform.
Father Connolly.
Good morning, Joe.
Thought you worked on us?
Half an hour's grace between masses.
Good. So, what can I do for you?
I've brought somebody to see you.
George is stunned to see Polly by Father Connolly's side.
Hello, Joe.
She's holding a young girl's hand.
And? Who's this?
This is Mary, my daughter.
May I leave you to look after them?
Unless you'd rather we went away again.
Joe glances inside.
No, you better come in.
Thanks, Joe.
How are you?
Polly carries Mary into the house.
Thank you, Father.
Selina steps into the lounge. Her face falls at the sight of Polly and her daughter, but she manages to retain a polite smile. The two women regard each other awkwardly.
This is Selina. Selina, this is Polly. This is Mary.
Pleased to meet you.
Polly glances at Joe.
Well, yes, likewise.
Selina shrugs her shoulders.
Cup of tea?
To Mary.
Piece of cake?
Yes, please.
Selina goes into the kitchen and shuts the door. Joe steps over to the fireplace, where some laundry has been hung on a stand to dry. He gestures towards a chair.
You'll have to sit down.
Thank you.
He watches bemused as Polly sits down, balancing Mary on her knee. She finally meets his eye.
So who's your pretty friend?
Selina. We met at a home guard dance. She's not here all the time, like, just occasional weekend.
Well, a dance? You don't dance.
I do now. Not all that well, but...
You make up for it with enthusiasm.
Probably.
You never used to have enthusiasm.
Things change.
So I see.
There you go.
She hands Mary a slice of cake.
When you've finished your tea, maybe you should have a walk. Probably's got a lot to talk about. Chocolate cake, all right, pet? Well, it's not proper chocolate, you know, but same colour.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Joe takes Polly and Mary for a walk on the beach.
Now do you understand why I ran away?
You met a handsome sailor that could dance the quick step.
Oh, come on, Joe, man, don't be so dense.
You were having a baby, and we both know it couldn't possibly have been mine.
Mary runs off in front of them.
So, where is he now, your handsome sailor?
He's out in the Pacific, fighting a war. Hey, not too far, pet!
Mary stops and runs back to them.
Do you know what I miss?
Peace pudding?
Oh, I'm serious. I miss the family. The four of us sat round the table.
Nothing stays the same. Kids grow up. You four?
He kicks a rock absent-mindedly. Polly sits down on the rock and Joe joins her. They watch Mary playing further down by the water.
So you and Selina, how serious is it?
I don't cry in me sleep as much as I used to.
She must be doing something right.
And I've come alive again. It seemed daft, but it was a home guard. I discovered I could be useful. Maybe even a bit brave.
Resurrection.
That's a bit heavy duty.
That's what Catholics believe in.
Lucky old Catholics.
Look, Joe. All I'm saying is, if you want me to come back, I will.
His eyes flicker and he turns to her, surprised.
Seriously?
It's not something you joke about.
They hold each other's gaze for a moment.
Oh, no rush. Take your time.
She gets up and resumes walking. Later, she and Joe hold Mary's hands as she skips along happily between them. They wander over the grassy clifftops. They pass other people, enjoying the sunshine. Selina is folding the laundry in the lounge when Joe returns alone.
Where are they?
They're stopping overnight at Polly's mother's house in Tynemouth and then back south in the morning.
And what did she want?
She wanted to know if I would have her back.
Oh, never.
That's what she said.
What did you say?
I didn't really know what to say, so I didn't really say anything.
Selina looks crestfallen and lowers her eyes. Joe notices her expression.
Well, when you've made up your mind where it is you really want to say, you'll find me in the co-op. I'd like to be kept informed, that's all. No. I'll see myself out.
She strides past him and out the door. Pulling on her black coat, she strolls off past the terraced houses, barely containing her sobs. Joe catches sight of himself in the mirror. He gives his reflection a withering look and shakes his head.
You spineless bastard.
Berlin is getting a real taste of total war. The terrific weight of the RAF assaults on the capital of Naziland has set the Hun reeling. Within a period of less than a week, the RAF dropped over 5,000 tons of high explosives and incendiaries on Berlin. The Germans say that such attacks are unfair. Unfair, ye gods, they don't know the meaning of the word.
Newsreel footage of RAF personnel posing in front of a Lancaster bomber. Alan comes into the pub wearing his RAF uniform.
Am I interrupting?
Alan! I know, of course you're not, lad. You know the lads, don't you?
Ah, since birth.
Alan,
good to see you.
Harry, sure.
Yeah. Sit yourself down, what are you drinking?
Oh, no, I'll catch up. I want to hear about your strike.
Well, what's to tell? We went on strike. Management caved in.
You know, it's funny we've done the same thing.
What?
We went on strike.
You kind of do that in the RAF.
Maybe not, but we did. We'd been on night raids 6-7 nights in a row. So went to the wing commander and we said we're not going. We need a rest, so we are going to the pub.
And they let you get away with it?
They had no choice.
I don't remember Karl Marx saying the revolution would begin at RAF Bomber Command.
You know, we do 30 missions on the trot and then we get a break. On average, we'll lose one plane in every 25 on every mission. So after you've done 25, you're living on borrowed time.
So, how many have you done so far?
I'm into the low 50s.
Joe looks shocked. He glances at Harry, who smiles, but whose face betrays concern. Eddie also seems disturbed.
I think I'll have that pint now, lad.
Joe smiles and gets up. Later, he and Alan walk along eating chips wrapped in newspaper.
A lot of them are posh, you know.
Who? Oh.
The chaps I fly with. Public schools, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Right. They're canny enough chaps. They talk different from us, but...
So do you.
What?
You talk different since you went away.
Just mixing with the toffs, I suppose.
Didn't tell Eddie. You see, you're betraying the revolution.
No, well, Eddie's wrong. I am the revolution. I'm thinking... If I get through the war in one piece, I might go to university.
University?
Right, well, apparently, there'll be grants like money for ex-servicemen to get some more education.
What do you want more education for? You can read and write. You're halfway through your apprenticeship.
And spend the rest of my life as an electrician. When I could have, I don't know, a degree in engineering.
People like us didn't go to university.
They sit by the bandstand drinking bottles of beer.
I had a letter from Mum. She says she wants to come home.
I know. She paid us a visit with her daughter.
And Sheila thinks it's a good idea. Do you?
House has been empty since she left, like.
Well, that's not a proper answer, Dad.
I haven't got a proper answer.
Well, what about your lady friend? How important is that?
She probably kept us sane.
Well, then.
Well, then what?
Well, you either get it together with Mum again, or you get a divorce and you marry Selina.
People like us don't get divorced.
My posh friends tell us it happens all the time in their families.
Aye. Well, in between going to public school and university.
I'm serious, man. And you've both committed adultery, so it should go through like a dose of salt.
Joe blinks, puzzled.
You have committed adultery, haven't you?
Well, yes. Didn't realise it could be so much fun.
Dad, should be ashamed of yourself.
No, don't worry, I am. Truth is, I'm frightened. I don't know what to do.
Well, whatever you do, and whether I survive this bloody war or not, I'll be on your side. Cheers, Dad.
Cheers.
A tram trundles down the street. Newsreel footage of the cenotaph on Armistice Day, November 1944.
This is London, calling to the Empire on a day that has been held sacred for nearly a quarter of a century.
The crowd take off their hats.
We must never feel that because we are once more at war, that older generation died in vain. Feel rather that we are finishing the work that they began.
Squad! Squad! Shut!
In a school hall...
Corporal Madison, perhaps you do the honours?
It's all right, sir, I know the words.
Right.
Now, let's all march out in style.
They march towards the war memorial where a Navy platoon is standing. Joe carries a wreath of poppies, another soldier, the Union Jack.
Squad! Halt!
Joe marches forward and lays the wreath under the names of the fallen. A small crowd of people watches from a distance. Joe steps back and delivers a stiff salute to the memorial. Then he swivels round and addresses his troops.
They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
Joe rejoins his squad and takes up position behind Simpson. Harry plays the last post on his bugle. Simpson faces his men.
Squad, fall out!
The men turn to their right and salute, then they merge with the crowd. Sheila, wearing a dark purple coat and hat, comes up behind Joe. She's with Tommy, who's in uniform and a purple beret.
Oh, hello, Pet. Didn't know you were coming.
It was all a bit last minute.
Tommy, how are you doing?
Tommy looks awkward.
So are you going round the house?
Yeah, if we're not in the way.
How could you be?
Well, wouldn't want to be a nuisance to your fancy woman.
Well, she's not around at the moment. But for future reference, her name's Selina. She wasn't even here today. Away.
Later, they make their way down a ginnel, past sheets hung out to dry. Tommy walks a little way in front.
When did Tommy get back?
Just this week. He got blown up at Arnhem. He won't talk about it, like, but he doesn't like to be closed in. I suppose it's shell shock or something.
See?
Tommy opens a door into a yard.
That's why I was hoping you would have me mum back.
What?
So she can help us look after him.
Look, I didn't ask her to walk out, you know.
No.
And Selina is not a fancy woman. She's a very good friend. Help put me back together again.
Sheila scowls and follows Tommy through the door. Later, Joe sits with Tommy in the backyard.
They don't tell you, do they? What it's going to be like? Did they tell you in 1914?
No.
Joe takes a drag on his cigarette.
Why not?
Because if they did, we wouldn't go.
Tommy doesn't look at Joe. He keeps his eyes on the ground.
There's something else.
What?
Don't ruin your life on my account.
Joe looks at Tommy with a sympathetic expression. Later, he goes to the church to visit Father Connolly.
Joe, what can I do for you?
They sit on one of the pews.
I need to know the difference between right and wrong.
Right and wrong.
Can you help?
If I can't. I'm obviously in the wrong job. Let me guess. It's about the family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an easy one. The right thing is for you and Polly to get back together again.
And the wrong thing?
Anything else?
Divorce?
That has no place in my philosophy, as you well know.
Joe nods ruefully and glances at a statue of the Virgin and Child. That night, he sits on the side of his bed in his pajamas, brooding. He stares glumly at the crucifix hanging on the wall. Then he reaches forward and takes it in his hand. He looks at it coldly, then dumps it in a drawer in the bedside cabinet. He sees that the crucifix has left a cross-shaped mark on the wall.
Leave me alone. Everyone, leave me alone.
Joe runs up to Harry.
Eddie says you want a word.
They're on the main street.
Aye, I do.
Well, go on then.
Selina.
That's the word.
You've stopped seeing her. You're as miserable as buggery. She's the same. You're both wandering around like it's 1 o'clock half struck.
And that's your advice.
Harry stops him.
Regard it as an order, or I'll wallop you. Hang on!
He stops the tram and gets on. Joe goes to a phone box surrounded by sandbags on three sides.
Yeah, hello? 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 Yeah, you don't know me, but I need some legal advice. I'd like to speak to Mr. Watkinson, please.
Later, Joe steps nervously into the co-op. Selina's standing behind the counter.
Having a bit of a party, New Year's Eve. It'll be open house.
That's nice.
New Year's Eve 1944. In Joe's lounge, Christmas decorations hang from the walls. Pregnant Sheila reads some cards.
Did my ma send you a card?
She did, and I'll send her one now I've got the address.
Sheila reads another card and frowns.
Who's Charles Watkinson?
He's a local solicitor, just keeping us out of trouble.
He winks at Tommy, who smiles.
You realise it's 5-2?
Who's letting the new year in?
Should be the youngest.
And somebody dark?
I know who the youngest is. Yeah. I've got everything ready.
Will you come with us, Dad? Show the little one what to do?
It's a grandfather's job. Yeah, Tommy, put that wireless on, will you? Ready for Big Ben, loud as it'll go.
Right?
Joe gives Sheila some kindling and picks up a piece of coal.
4 years ago, Europe belonged to...
In the street, neighbours chat outside their front doors.
Well, whoever you are, you need to know what happens on New Year's Eve. Whoever's the first to cross the threshold after midnight has to carry a piece of coal, some firewood. Do you think this Ben's paying attention?
Every last word.
I thought so.
And are you paying attention to the Ben?
Why, what's the Ben say?
The Ben wants Grandma to come home. Proper Grandma.
We'll talk about it later.
The neighbours turn to go back inside. Sheila crosses the threshold first. At the end of the road, the moonlight picks out a giant ship in the boatyard.
Health and happiness, is that right?
How about peace in our time? And Alan. Safe home, lad. Alan.
Alan. Are you expecting anybody?
It'll likely be that Winston Churchill come to say thank you.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy
lad.
New Year.
You gonna let us in?
Aye, how are you?
Hey, we've got our rations.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Come on in.
He spots Selina among the guests. A man turns up with an accordion.
Oh, you bought your squeeze box.
fishing in the weir. He catched a fish upon his hook, he found a very weird.
Selena nurses a drink by the fireside, watching Joe argue with Sheila in the kitchen.
Yes, we are in the weir. Oh, which lads have you got? I'll tell you down and out the story. Which lads have you got? I'll tell you about the war. No Lambton felt inclined to go and fight in foreign wars. He joined a troop of knights that cared for neither wounds nor scars.
Still singing, Harry watches with concern as Selena goes into Joe's bedroom on the other side of the lounge. She places her drink on the dressing table, folds her arms, and sits on the end of the bed. She looks at the ruffled covers, then notices the cross-shaped mark left on the wall by the crucifix. Her face turns white. Joe chats with Harry in the backyard.
Thanks for everything, Bonnie lad.
What did I do?
You kept me out the loony bin.
You? You're the one with all the songs and the jokes.
Have you never noticed when I'm telling the jokes? I'm the only bugger not laughing.
Aye. I've noticed you don't laugh.
And that's what I mean. Thanks for noticing.
He draws on his cigarette, then glances round at the window of Joe's bedroom behind him.
Somebody's left the light on?
Joe looks at him quizzically.
Go on.
A look of realization crosses Joe's face. He throws his cigarette on the floor, grinds it into the dust with his heel, and goes inside. Selena stands as he opens the door. He glances back into the lounge, then closes the door and steps into the center of the room. She folds her arms and nods at the wall.
Did you take it down?
No, I did. Well, it's never done me any good, has it?
She smiles and they look into each other's eyes.
Happy New Year, Bonnie lass.
He takes her in his arms and hugs her. She closes her eyes and after a moment responds, throwing her arms around him. In the lounge, Sheila and Tommy stand laughing together. The door to the bedroom opens. Joe and Selena emerge, hand in hand. Day on board the ship.
How do you fancy corned beef?
I don't fancy anything.
Hangover.
Oh, aye.
Yeah. I've one of Mr. Simpson's magic tablets.
Oh,
Eddie joins them holding a piece of paper.
Did you not get your official letter?
Not for me. Anybody rustling paper hurts me head. Especially if it's official.
The Home Guard to be wound up. Yeah. All officers may keep their rank as an honorary title.
Major Simpson, the chemist. Sounds like happy families.
What about Corporal Madison, the welder?
Oh, no, it doesn't apply to other ranks.
All we get is a certificate. Typical of a class-ridden society. Homemade imitation fish paste, anybody?
Not unless you want me to throw up in your bait box.
And so the parade marched past. You remember the old days of the LDV when the only weapons they had was an armlet and a penknife. They look different today. They make you realize that all the growing pains of the Home Guard have really been worthwhile.
Private Crawford.
The Home Guard are sitting in the school hall. Harry, wearing two medals, marches to the front and salutes Simpson.
Thanks, Harry. Even for the music. Friends?
That's gone a bit far. But... sorry.
They shake hands and Simpson gives him a certificate.
I should only hit people my own age.
Simpson looks put out as Harry salutes and returns to his seat.
Corporal Madison!
Joe gets up, straightens his tunic and marches to the front. He and Simpson salute each other. Simpson holds out a certificate and his hand.
Everybody's favourite NCO.
Can't imagine why.
Joe grins and turns on his heel. At the back, Selena starts clapping. Joe holds up the certificate for Selena to see. Later, at home, she presents it to him in a frame.
What's wrong?
Now, I've an idea, but you might not like it.
I usually like your ideas.
She puts it where the crucifix hung.
I realised that the nail was in just the right position. But if it upsets you...
Why would it?
However, man, Joe, don't have to explain, do
I know.
We don't have to explain things, do we?
I think that's the secret, you know.
What?
They've spelled Madison with only one D.
No.
Oh, lad, you can't expect everything to be perfect, can you?
Is everything else perfect?
He smiles and shows her a letter from Watkinson and Heath solicitors headed Divorce Proceedings, Mr. J. Madison and Mrs. P. Madison.
Victory was in the air long before the official announcement of total peace. From a Whitehall balcony, the men who organised victory looked down.
Shots of the royal family.
Celebrations went on for days without a break.
King George, the Queen and Princesses Elizabeth and Margaret waved to the crowd. September 1945, Joe's wedding reception. He taps on a glass.
5 years ago, just around the outbreak of war, I found myself making a speech at our Sheila's wedding. And if you told me then that 5 years later I'd be making a speech at my own wedding, I'd have said you were mad. Mind you, I often think that anybody that's living in the 20th century that isn't mad must be round the twist. But all I've got to say is, more things have happened to me in the last 5 years than in the whole of the rest of my life. Good things, I mean. Selena, for one. Then there's the family, of course. Welcome home, Alan. And Sheila, I can always count on you. Not forgetting me mates. Harry, Eddie, all the lads in the Home Guard, Major Simpson, and Father Connolly, who I think's rather given up on me and me heathen ways, and all of you, all good people. Fact is, the last 5 years have been the best years of my life. I'll go to my grave and I'll never understand why.
Selena rubs his hand affectionately.
Too serious, sorry. Have a great party.
Harry takes to the stage.
Creepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers, creepers.
Joe and Selena are dancing when Sheila comes over holding her baby.
Hey, hey.
Will you take the little one so I can dance with my dad?
Of course, no bother.
Selena takes the baby in her arms.
You be as long as you like.
Joe and Sheila take to the dance floor.
When you turn those heaters on, woe is me. I
gotta get my. We never knew you could dance.
Neither did I, Bobby Lass.
Selena smiles and rocks the baby as she watches them from the side.
Where'd you get those eyes?
In memory of Alan Plater, 1935 to 2010. ITFC audio description.